Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Bearing good fruit in our lives, actually, it shows that we're living differently. The fruit can be seen in our lives, okay? But how do we do that? And today I want to talk, because I think this is foundational. The fruit in our lives is really the outcome of what we've decided to put into our lives, okay? What are you planting? What seeds are you planting right now? That's the outcome of what's actually going on in your lives, okay? Last Sunday, we kicked off our theme for the year, bear good fruit. Paul wrote in Galatians, which is the book that we're kind of basing off of, to the church in Galatia. He urged them to bear good fruit. And not only did he urge them, but I think he urged every person that would follow to bear good fruit. Every person who says they're a believer, everybody who believes in Jesus, you're going to bear good fruit out of your life. You can look at what you're bearing right now. Some of us, we have some stinky fruit that we continue to bear. God's saying, no, I want good fruit. I want my fruit. I want the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor Sheree's going to be talking to us about that next week, and you're not going to want to miss it. We see Paul comparing what good fruit is that comes from the leading a Holy Spirit-empowered life versus the fruit of living for your fleshly nature. We see also very clearly the effects that this choice makes on our lives. And I want to tell you right from the very beginning, your choices, every choice you make, either brings you to freedom or it brings you to bondage and brokenness. Don't think that choices don't matter. Because, like, we can all be all great here, but what I'm talking about, if this gospel doesn't work in our lives Monday through Saturday, it's not changing us. What I want to challenge you is that this changes who you are. That what you do outside of these four walls, the choices you make because you're living a Spirit-empowered life, are leading you to freedom, not brokenness and bondage. An overarching theme when it comes to bearing good fruit is the importance of living a Holy Spirit-empowered life. That is how you're going to bear good fruit, is by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. The outcome of that life, the outcome of that choice of saying, God, I want to live a Holy Spirit-empowered life, is good fruit. We're going to dig into the fruit of the Spirit, like I said, next Sunday. The fruit, though, directly comes from what the Holy Spirit has done in you and the choices we make. The fruit of your life comes directly from the seed that you plant and nurture, okay? What seeds are you planting right now? What seeds are you digging into? What seeds are you putting in your life? Because that's the fruit that's going to grow. If you're putting in seeds that are going to bring bad fruit, that's what's going to grow in your life. What seeds are you putting in right now? That idea of sowing. Don't be shocked when you put the wrong seeds in your life and you allow sin to grow and bad fruit grows. And that's the outcome. And it brings bondage and it brings brokenness to your life. This idea of being led by the Holy Spirit, it is the answer to you seeing freedom in your life. It's the answer to you seeing the freedom that God promises in your life, the choices that you make. But it comes directly from the seed. You cannot plant a seed of bitterness and expect it to be a fruit of love. You cannot plant unforgiveness and expect it to be patience. These seeds that you're allowing to grow in your life, it's so important to take root and let God speak to you about what's taking root in your life. The principle of sowing and reaping can be seen in living a Spirit-empowered life. If you will do what God calls you to do, you're going to see the good fruit come out of your life. If you plant a good seed, good fruit's going to come out of your life. The good seed is, Lord, I want to plant seeds of living according to your Spirit. I want to plant seeds of living according to your ways, not my ways. Paul is very clear in Galatians. We live in a world today that says, cast off all restraint and do whatever you want. And what that's saying is you are planting seeds of that in your life, and that's what you're going to experience. The Bible tells us very clearly about the life that we're called to live, and Paul is clear in Galatians about that. Look at this, Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. Listen, it's more than just getting saved. Being saved is the first point. That brings you freedom. But how many Christians decide to go back into their prison when God's calling you to step forward and walk into freedom and wholeness? Does it ever make sense to walk back to your prison? Does it ever make sense? Like, listen, there is more. Getting saved is just the first step. Letting Jesus wash away your sin and give you a fresh start, that's the first step. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery to the law. When we're talking about the law, we're talking about the man-made list of rules and religion and all of those things that the enemy will try to use to compare in your life. And the Lord is saying, don't worry about following man-made rules and regulations. Follow me. And it's also talking about sin and what sin does in our life. We can have freedom because of what Christ has already done for us on the cross, but freedom is never free. We live in a free country, but don't forget, somebody paid their life for this freedom. We get to enjoy freedom because somebody made a sacrifice. We get to enjoy freedom in a spiritual sense because Jesus sacrificed for us. He already did what needed to be done on the cross. He gave his life for our freedom. He set us free from the slavery of sin and the law. When Paul talks about that law, that was, like I said, basically religious rules and laws. Salvation was not based on how well you did, but what Jesus already does. Salvation is not based on, like, oh, you're only going to be saved if you can be perfect. That's not what we're talking about here. Jesus already made a way for you. Jesus got up on a cross and he said, listen, while you were yet sinners, I died for you. There's already a way. It's our choice to walk in that way. It's our choice to say, Jesus, I want to live according to what you say. Jesus turned that all upside down. Salvation was based now on what a person, not on what a person does or following that man-made religious rules and regulations. It's all about what Jesus had already done. God gives us free will, though. With freedom comes responsibility. And that's true in the country that we live. You can't just go do whatever you want. I know we're seeing that more and more in our country, and you can see how disastrous that is. When we live in a free country, we all have responsibility. Try not paying your taxes for a little while, right? There's responsibility. That's true in the spiritual sense, too. We live in a free nation, but you can't. We live free, but we can't just do whatever we want. To remain free, we have responsibility. We have choices that we need to make. Our spiritual lives are the same way. We can either walk in the freedom that Christ made available to us by living a spirit-empowered life, or we can choose to walk in bondage. Who would ever choose to walk in bondage, but we do it? Because we keep going back. We make the choice to say, I'm going to live according to my sinful nature versus according to what God has called me to do. Every choice we make has consequences, whether good or bad. Let's see what Paul writes about this in Galatians 5, 13 through 18. Let's read it together. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. God doesn't force you. It's your choice. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. That's what we're literally seeing happen today in our society. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. You see, here's where that idea of spirit-empowered life comes. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us a desire that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. That is a hard, clear line. You've got God with what he wants us to do on one side. You have the sinful nature on the other side. God will lead you to freedom and following his ways. The sinful nature will lead you to brokenness and bondage and put you back into slavery. It's black and white. There's no gray. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. We need to always be looking at the fruit that's coming out of our lives. The fruit that we're producing is a sign of what's going on in our heart and our relationship with God. It's important to always be taking an inventory. It's also important to note, God will never force you. You have a choice. God never forces. What kind of God would force us to love him? He doesn't. We have a choice. He says, here, this is it. Here's your choice. You make the choice. And there's consequences on either side, whether good or bad. You have a choice whether you're going to live in relationship with him, experiencing freedom and God's best, or if you're going to live according to your sinful nature and the ways of this world, which I will say again, and I'm going to say it repeatedly. If you decide to live according to your sinful nature, there will be consequences. There'll be death. There'll be bondage. That's just the way it's set up. The natural consequences of allowing sin in our lives is death. And it also separates us from God. That won't change, and it won't. You won't be the exception to the rule. I've talked to people, well, I can live however I want. You are not the exception to the rule. It doesn't matter what your opinion is on this matter. Well, I think the Bible's old-fashioned. I don't think what the Bible has to say applies to my life. I promise you it does. And this is a message for you, because at the end of the day, you're deciding on what you're going to allow into your life. It doesn't matter. When you choose to live a spirit-empowered life, the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you to the right choices. One of the Holy Spirit roles in our lives is to convict us when we're heading down the wrong path. And I want to be very clear about conviction. Conviction is not guilt and shame. Because guilt and shame is looking back at what you did and trying to define who you are. Conviction is the Holy Spirit helping you to look ahead so that you're not walking into the same traps over and over and over again. So right now, if you're sitting here and you're taking this inventory of all the ways that you've messed up, that's guilt and shame. God is saying, I want better for you. I want freedom. I want to bring you out. Because you see, our God is a God who brings us out of bondage and gives us freedom. We are the ones that choose to go back. Conviction is not guilt and shame. Here's how the enemy's vicious game plan works. And it works the same. It's worked the same forever. See, he's a one-trick pony. He does the same thing over and over and over again, and we fall for it over and over and over again. But here it is. He tempts you to sin. Once you sin, he brings down guilt, shame, and condemnation. He goes from being the tempter to the prosecuting attorney to the condemner. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit reveals an area of sin in your heart or life. And listen, sin is just that we've missed the mark. And here's what I want us to be so attuned of living a Holy Spirit-empowered life that we're listening. Jesus, Holy Spirit, show me when I've missed the mark and help me to turn it around quickly. Because we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make choices sometimes that are not according to God's way and his will. But he brings it right around, the Holy Spirit does, and it changes who we are. And we can say, okay, Jesus, I repent. I come back to you. Conviction causes us to run to God for forgiveness and grace. Guilt and shame is when the enemy speaks words of failure and fear into our lives. Shame leads us to run away from God in dread of punishment. Shame doesn't deal with the sin. It just tells us that we're unforgiven and smothers out our love for God and quenches the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm calling you, live a spirit-empowered life where the conviction of God comes along and he helps you to live in the right direction. It's important to take note, too, that it's not our job to tell other people how to live. It's not our job to judge them. It's our job to love them. It's not my job. And if you feel a minute of judgment today, that's the enemy speaking to you. Because it's not my job to say, well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. All I'm saying to you is live a spirit-empowered life. Let God show you what he wants to change in your life. It's not our job. The religious folks love to look at people and go, oh, you don't measure up. That's not what Hope City is. Hope City is a place where you are going to feel loved and you're going to be given an opportunity to hear God's voice and let him speak to you about what he wants to do in your life. We don't need to help the enemy do his job by heaping condemnation, guilt, and shame on a person because of how they're living or the choices they're making. He's really good at that. But we need to come along and go, listen, there's a better life. Listen, there's something better for you. Like, listen, God has something that's going to lift you up out of the pit and bring you freedom from that fear and condemnation and guilt and shame. Our job is to lovingly lead people to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and help them hear God's voice. God can speak to somebody about changing so much better than I could. God will do the work through the power of his Holy Spirit that needs to be done in that person's life. It's not our job to be the judge and the jury. Our job is to lead them in a loving way. I want to highlight three truths today in this portion of Scripture. And we've talked about it, but I want to just put it on your notes. Number one, we have been called to live in freedom. You have been called to live in freedom. God is saying, I have a better way for you. You make the choice. For you, and look at Galatians 5, 13 through 14 again. For you have been called to live in freedom. You haven't been forced to live in freedom. You've been called to live in freedom. God says, I have a better way, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. We've been called to walk in freedom. You have been called to walk in freedom. But you have to continually make the choice of how you're going to use this freedom. Paul tells us not to use that freedom to satisfy our sinful nature. Here's the truth. Your sinful nature will never be satisfied. That's why people are walking around with a huge hole in their heart. And they try to fill it with everything this world has to offer. And it will never satisfy you. You are empty until you give your life to Jesus. How many of you would agree? How many of you say, I was empty until I turned my life over to Jesus? You can chase after all the money in the world. You can chase after all the fame in the world. You can chase after all the jobs, all the big houses, all the big cars. It'll never fill you like the power of the Holy Spirit will. Your sinful nature will never be satisfied. When you live by your sinful nature, there's going to be an empty hole in your life that you can never fill. And what's sad to me is where believers have experienced freedom and they go back to their old life and they go back to the bondage. They go back to and the enemy just has a hold on them. When God says, no, I've got so much more. All you need to do is realize every choice matters. You'll never be satisfied with the world's way of thinking. And I can promise you this. The world's way of thinking is completely different than what God says. Our world today is telling you to live completely different than how God's word tells us to live. So if you feel like, man, I'm doing good worldly-wise, you better stop and check the fruit that's coming out of your life. Don't listen to how the world tells you to live. Get into God's word and figure out what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Only the fruit of the Spirit and living a Spirit-empowered life will fully satisfy you. Evaluating the fruit that comes out of your life is so vital. It gives you a good picture of where your heart is. Paul calls us to use our freedom to serve others. What are you doing to serve others? See, because we as humans, we can easily serve ourselves. We're built to serve ourselves. We're good at making sure we have our own personal needs taken care of. Let's be honest. Our sinful nature makes us very selfish. All you have to do is look at an infant to see that. We're born, and in our sinful nature, we're selfish. It's easy to use our freedom in a selfish way, but Paul completely turns that upside down and says we are to use our freedom to serve others in love. What are you doing to serve others right now in love? What are you doing in your life to follow out this idea of using the fruit of the Spirit to serve others? And when we look at this idea of love, it's the word agape in the Greek, which is a choice. You are choosing to love somebody. It's a verb. You are loving a person unconditionally, no matter if they deserve it or not. What does the world say? Oh, you can fall in and out of love. Do you know how many marriages I've heard end where somebody goes, I just don't love that person anymore? And my word to them is choose to love them. Choose. You make the choice to love them. And love is not just this emotional feeling. Love is a verb where you sit and go, I love you no matter how messy you are. I love you. I choose to love you, which is what Jesus says to us. Loving like the Bible tells us to love does not come naturally. But love is no strings attached. Love is not what you can do for me, but what I can do for you. Loving like the Bible says does not come. That's where the Spirit-empowered life is so important. I find it interesting that the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and I think that's the foundation of everything else. You cannot be patient with a person if you don't love them. You cannot be long-suffering, which I guess is the same word. You can't be. The fruit of love is where it all starts, and then everything else flows out of that. We must be so careful that we don't bite and devour one another. The world we're living in today, that's what's happening. People are being bitten. They're being devoured. And I'm telling you, even on your social media, don't bite. Don't devour. Love people. That's where we're going to show the world a completely different way. Love is the key, and love is the answer. And we don't love people just to change them. We love people because unconditional, no matter how they come into our lives, we're going to love them. And I'll say this. It's easy to love people we like, but how about the people you don't like? That person that drives you nuts. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is really tested. Because unconditional means unconditional. Tomorrow morning when you go back to that to work and the people that you don't like, Lord, give me the fruit of love to love them. Help me to love them unconditional. Help me to love the people that drive me crazy. Truth number two, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. That's what a Spirit-empowered life is. This is practical. This is where the gospel gets down. And Monday through Saturday, every morning when you get your feet on the floor, give the Holy Spirit permission to lead you. Jesus, today, Holy Spirit, lead me. Every decision I'm going to make, show me where it's a pitfall. Show me where the enemy's trying to get me off track. Lord, help me to be so aware of every decision, every choice I make. You might go, Pastor, even what I'm going to eat, yeah, I don't care. All the choices. Holy Spirit, show me. I want you to guide me in every aspect of my life. That is what brings freedom. That's what brings wholeness. Allowing the Holy Spirit to guide is a key to living a Spirit-empowered life. Galatians 5:16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The question is not, Holy Spirit, are you willing to guide me and lead me? The question is, will you allow him? Will you allow Holy Spirit to come in and lead your life? God is never going to force you to do anything. That's not the kind of God he is. What he says is, I have a better way and I'm offering it to you. You have to make the choice. I have a better way. His love is so great that when we really grasp it and it takes a hold of our heart and the awareness of how great that love is, it naturally turns up, causes us to turn around and love him back and say, Jesus, I would never want to do anything that gets off track with you. His love for us doesn't change the fact that our choices have consequences. Some of you, you're wondering why you're in sin and bondage and death. It's because of the consequences. You cannot be mad at God when you experience the consequences of sin. God lays it out for us. He says, listen, this is where it is. If you live according to your sinful nature and you do things according to your sinful nature, then you're going to experience death, you're going to experience bondage, you're going to experience brokenness. But when you live according to my guidelines, when you live according to the Holy Spirit working in your life, and listen, some of you, you're experiencing the brokenness and bondage in your own life because of decisions that were made generations ago in your family. And I'm here to tell you, this is a moment where you can break the generational curses that sin has gone over and over. This is the moment where you can say, Jesus, I break that sin. I break addiction in my family. I break divorce. I break fatherlessness. Lord, I break all of this because I'm choosing to live your way and not according to my sinful desire. That's fruit of the Spirit. That's how we live according. If you are broken and it's gone down generation to generation, today's the day to break it. And you break it by living a Spirit-empowered life. I've heard people ask this question before. How could a loving God send somebody to hell? God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's our choice. It's our choice. God doesn't, he goes, listen, this is the natural rules. This is how I've set things up, and it's your choice. God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's our choice. It's why God sent his son Jesus so that we would have a way, but he's never going to force you. How do we live a Spirit-empowered life that bears good fruit? First of all, spend time with the Holy Spirit every day. Learn how to hear the Spirit's voice in your life. Allow him to guide and direct your life. In the morning, every morning, Jesus, guide me, direct me. Holy Spirit, lead me. When you experience conviction, listen to that conviction. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit's voice in your life. Holy Spirit has a quiet, still, small voice most of the time. Listen, if all you do is you have your AirPods in, you have something playing on the radio all the time, you've got the TV going, you're on computer, I'm a multitasker, I can do all these things. No, Holy Spirit says, stop and listen to me. Put away all that stuff and listen to me. Take some time and listen to me. In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is represented by a dove, and a dove is gentle. If you've ever been around a dove, they get scared off so quickly. The Holy Spirit is gentle. God is not going to yell at you. And some of you are like, well, I can't hear him. And my question is, are you taking time to listen? Are you taking time to listen to him? He's not going to. When God is yelling in the Bible, that is not a good sign. Make sure that you make room for Holy Spirit in your life. See, a lot of people are good with God and Jesus, but Holy Spirit, they're a little bit afraid of him. And Holy Spirit is who Jesus sent as our comforter. listening to that voice, inviting the Holy Spirit in to speak to us. He's the third person of the Trinity, having a Spirit-led life. Truth number three, and as I wrap up, you have to understand the battle. Paul lays out the battle here. It's important to understand the battle that is constantly going on. And I don't care if you've been saved for 5 minutes or 30 years, this is the battle every one of us face. Don't ever think, well, I've been in this for a long time and I got this, because that's the minute the enemy's going to come and knock you out. Okay, listen to this battle. Galatians 5:17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. The battle lines are clearly drawn. And here's the problem, I think, today. We have people who want to have a foot in both worlds. They serve God when it's convenient, and when the sinful nature comes along, they're right there. You cannot have a foot in both worlds. The battle lines are drawn clearly because, listen, if you have a foot in this world that you're going after your sinful nature, you're going to experience bondage, you're going to experience brokenness, and everyone around you is too. You have to have a foot right here. You have to have a foot in God's world. And Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Some people like to get right up to the edge. Well, I'm going to mess around with sin so close and see what happens. We don't say that naturally, but if you're so close to the edge, you're going over. How about we get back here and we say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Every decision, every idea, everything that comes into my mind, the spiritual conflict we're talking about with the believer involves the whole person, mind, body, and spirit. So I want you to think about that. The decision you have to make is in my mind. What am I going to think about? With my body, where am I going to go? What am I going to let come into my body? With my spirit, what am I letting into my spirit? And if you look, the sinful nature, if we allow it, it'll affect every one of those areas in our life. Our spirit, our mind, our body. And when I hear people saying, well, it's my body, I can do what I want. True. But then when the consequences come, don't be surprised. The battlefield is within every Christian, and the conflict will continue during our earthly lives. The choice is yours, and we're talking about complete opposites. And I want you to know, there is no middle gray. There's no in-between. You're either here, living your sinful nature, or you're walking a spirit-empowered life. What's the choice? I don't know about you, but there's not anything clearer than what Paul said right here. Don't try to even spin it. Well, I'm okay if I mess around with this stuff. No. The battle lines are drawn. Where are you going to land? Where are you going to land? Because one side is brokenness, bondage, guilt and shame, and the other side is living in spirit-empowered life where you're going to experience complete freedom. So don't come to me living out a sinful life and wonder why you don't have freedom. But you can come to me because I want to help you walk through it. But don't be surprised that these things are so opposite. Don't try to have a foot in both worlds. And I'm not telling you what you need to give up and what you need to do. That's Holy Spirit's job. But the truth of it is, some of us, we need to get before the Lord today and say, what areas do you want to take in my life? What areas have I had a foot in both worlds? What areas have I been believing the world on and listening to my sinful nature and thinking that it's no big deal? Now I'm realizing it brings bondage and death to my life and my family. It's a high-stakes choice that will determine whether you walk in freedom or you experience bondage. And I believe God has freedom for you. This is a daily, hour, and even minute-by-minute battle. It's every step that we take. Paul says these two forces are constantly fighting each other. Do not underestimate the power of living in a sinful nature. Don't think you've ever arrived. Be on guard. But here's the beautiful thing about it. To realize every choice we make can sometimes feel heavy. That's where if you have Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, he's going to say, listen, that choice just opened you up to your sinful nature. If you'll listen to his voice if you'll let him speak to you, if you'll say, God, you have every aspect of my heart. See, because a lot of us, we're good at giving 90%, but not the full 100. And God's wanting the whole 100%. Because that's where that freedom is found. Understanding the battle helps us win the battle. When we walk a Holy Spirit-empowered life, that's when the fruit of the Spirit is going to be alive and growing. That's why we're going to see an incredible harvest of God's goodness, the goodness that will pour out of our lives and touch others. This is not a message of guilt and condemnation. It's a message of freedom. This is, friends, this is how we find freedom in our lives. This is how we stop going back. This is how we stop. Listen, when God opens the prison and sets you free, don't go back to that prison again. Don't walk backwards. Like, literally stop today. Go home and say, Jesus, what are you speaking to me about? What areas of my life have I allowed my sinful nature to control? I want freedom. How many of you want? I want freedom. I want freedom. I don't want to walk in brokenness. I don't want to walk in bondage anymore. I want freedom, and I want freedom for my family. And this is how we do it, a Spirit-empowered life.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.